This is the most controversial passage in the book of Revelation. How you interpret this passage will affect how you view other passages, and how you view other passages will affect how you interpret this passage. This passage of Scripture has given rise to three schools of eschatology. Eschatology is the study of last things. Eschaton is the Greek word for last. Ology means the study of. Put them together and you get eschatology, the study of last things. There are three basic views on this passage of Scripture. There is the premillennial view, the postmillennial view, and the amillennial view. In this text, the figure 1,000 years occurs six times in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. It is the only reference in the entire Bible to a 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Latin word for thousand is milli. The Latin word for year is annum. Put those two words together and you come up with millennium. Millennium means 1,000 years. The names of the three schools of eschatology based upon this passage of Scripture all have that word millennium in them. Premillennial, postmillennial, and amillennial. The names of the three views are based upon how the 1,000 years is interpreted and where the second coming of Christ fits with respect to the 1,000 years. The premillennialist interprets the 1,000 years literally and puts it in the future and understands the second coming of Christ to be just prior to the 1,000 years. Pre means before, so the second coming of Christ is premillennial, before the 1,000 years. The postmillennialist interprets the 1,000 years symbolically and places it in the future and understands the second coming of Christ to come after the 1,000 years. Post means after, so the second coming of Christ is postmillennial, after the 1,000 years. The amillennialist interprets the 1,000 years symbolically also. The amillennialist does not believe that there will be a literal 1,000-year reign of Christ in history upon this earth. History will come to an end at the second coming of Christ, and then will follow the eternal kingdom of Christ, which is the eternal state. The letter A is called the alpha privative in Greek, and it means no. It negates whatever it is attached to, whatever comes after it. So, amillennial means no millennium or no literal earthly millennium. There are four subjects that need to be addressed in this text. The first is the binding of Satan. The second is the 1,000 years. The third is the first resurrection and the second death. And the fourth is the loosing of Satan. All four of those subjects are in this text. I want to take those four subjects and give the three views on each one of them so that you will at least be acquainted with them and you can decide for yourself which view best represents what the Scriptures teach. And if you disagree with me on this, I promise I will not be offended. First of all, the binding of Satan is described in verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 through 3 says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended." After that, he must be released for a little while. The premillennial view is that this will literally happen the way it is stated. Satan will be seized and bound for 1,000 years and thrown into a pit and shut up and sealed up. Satan will be completely inoperable for 1,000 years. He will be taken out of the picture altogether. This event takes place at the second coming of Christ and continues to the end of the millennium. The postmillennial view is that the binding of Satan is a slow process. The church takes the gospel message to the ends of the earth. The nations are all converted, and slowly Satan is bound. The 1,000 years is not literally 1,000 years, but is a long period of time. And so this binding of Satan will last for a long time. The amillennial view is that this binding has already occurred. It took place during the time of Christ's earthly ministry. Satan is not rendered totally inoperable, but his power to deceive the nations is severely restricted. The 1,000 years is not a literal 1,000 years, but represents a long period of time. And so Satan will be restricted for a long period of time. Satan is still a wicked and fierce enemy of the church, but his influence over the nations is restrained. The 1,000 years is described in verses 4 through 6. Verse 4 through 6 says, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. According to the premillennial view, the 1,000 years begins at the second coming of Christ. Chapters 19 and 20 are chronological. The second coming of Christ is described in chapter 19. The millennium begins in chapter 20. During this period, Satan will be bound. Christ will reign on this earth. His throne will be set up in Jerusalem. The Old Testament economy of things will be reinstituted. The Jews will all be back in the land. I assume that many people were spared when Christ defeated His enemies at the end of chapter 19, and they are the ones who enter the millennial kingdom. It will be a time of unlimited prosperity. It will be a golden age upon the earth. According to the postmillennial view, the 1,000 years is symbolic for a long period of time. It may still be in the future. The church will slowly, by the preaching of the gospel, usher in the kingdom. The nations will beat their swords into plowshares. There will be a long period of peace and prosperity on earth. The world is Christianized. Not that everyone is converted, but the whole world will be so influenced by the gospel that there will be this period of peace and prosperity. The lion will lay down with the lamb. According to the amillennial view, the 1,000 years is symbolic for a long period of time. We are in that period of time right now. It is the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. Christ is reigning now in heaven. The prophecies about peace and prosperity and a golden age on earth refer to the eternal state. The first resurrection and second death are described in verses 4 through 6. Verse 5 says, "The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended." This is the first resurrection. It refers back to those souls in verse 4 who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, who came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. According to the premillennial view, the first resurrection is the resurrection of saints at the second coming of Christ, who have died in the ages before the second coming. The first death is physical death. The second death is eternal death. They are raised from physical death and they will reign with Christ in the millennium, and the second death has no power over them. The second resurrection is the resurrection of the unsaved. They will be raised at the end of the millennium and brought before the great white throne for judgment." That is what verse 5 means when it says the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. The second death does have power over them because they will be thrown into the lake which burns with fire, which is the second death. The way I understand it, the post and amillennial views of the first resurrection and second death are the same. There are only two resurrections. The first resurrection is the resurrection of Christ. The second resurrection is the general resurrection of all of the dead, of all the ages, at the end of earth's history for the final judgment. The first resurrection referred to in verse 5, where the souls of Christian martyrs came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, is a spiritual resurrection that happens when a Christian dies. His or her soul goes to heaven to reign with Christ. The text says, "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection." And the way they share in the first resurrection is by going to heaven and reigning with Christ in heaven. The first death is physical death, the separation of the soul from the body. The second death is eternal death, the eternal separation of the soul from God. The loosing of Satan is described in verse 7 through 10. Verse 7 through 10 says, "And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." According to the premillennial view, Satan, who has been bound in a pit since the beginning of the millennium, will be loosed and set free to deceive the nations, and the nations will gather for battle against the saints and the Lord, whose throne is set up in Jerusalem, and fire will come down from heaven and consume them, and the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is hell forever. So at the beginning of this 1,000-year period, I assume that only saved people will enter the millennium and resurrected saints will rule with Christ on earth. But children are born who still have sin natures, who are still able to be deceived by Satan. And at the end of the millennium, Satan will deceive the nations and mount a campaign against the Lord that will be dramatically ended by fire from heaven. After all of this comes the final judgment, and then the eternal state of things, which is described in chapters 21 and 22. I really don't know how the post-millennialist views the loosing of Satan, but I assume it is much like the amillennial view. The amillennial view is that at the end of the millennium, which is the period we are living in now, Satan will be loosed to deceive the nations, and they will mount up great opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. This is, according to the amillennial view, the same thing as the great battle of Armageddon that we read about in chapter 19. This is that battle of Armageddon, retold from a different perspective. So fire comes down from heaven and consumes the enemies of God, and Christ is victorious. Then comes the final judgment and the new heavens and the new earth, which is all described in the remainder of the book. So the view that makes the most sense to me at this time is the amillennialist view. This 1,000 years is a figurative expression representing a long period of time. All of the numbers used in the book of Revelation are symbolic. Seven spirits of God, seven stars, seven golden lampstands, seven churches, a seven-sealed book, seven trumpets, seven bowls, seven plagues, a seven-headed dragon, seven mountains, seven kings, 7,000 killed in an earthquake, 10 days of tribulation, 10,000 times 10,000 mounted troops, 10 horns, 10 diadems, 10 kings, the number 666, 24 thrones, 24 elders, 144,000 sealed servants of God, 1,600 stadia. These numbers are all figurative, symbolic, and so is the 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20. The Bible says that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. But does that mean only the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God and all the rest belong to somebody else? No. It is a figurative way of saying that they all belong to God. And Peter said, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day." Revelation 20, 1 through 10 summarizes this whole age, a long period of time that we live in now between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, as a 1,000-year reign of Christ in heaven. Satan was bound during Christ's earthly ministry, and his power was broken and restricted by the crucifixion and the atoning sacrifice of Christ. He is still the great enemy of God's people and a powerful enemy. But his ability to deceive the nations during this period is restricted. Christ was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven and is ruling and reigning now from a throne in heaven. The word throne is used over 40 times in the book of Revelation, and all but once it refers to a throne or thrones in heaven. The saints of God, people who have been redeemed by Christ, have a part in His resurrection. They share in His resurrection because their bodies go into the graves when they die, but their spirits go to heaven, and there they rule with Christ. At some point near the end of this age, Satan will be unbound, and with a fury he will deceive the nations of the earth to do battle against the Lord God. Gog and Magog, mentioned in Revelation 20 verse 8, represent all the nations of the earth in opposition to God. It is the same scene described in chapter 19 and called the Battle of Armageddon in chapter 16. The conquest of the enemies of Christ, summarized here in chapter 20 by fire coming down from heaven, is portrayed in chapter 14 as the great harvest of the earth, resulting in the blood flowing as high as a horse's bridle for 1600 stadia. And in chapter 19, as Christ coming from heaven, riding a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven, slaughtering His enemies by the sword of His mouth. Satan is a doomed enemy. Christ is coming, and He will be victorious. God's purposes will be accomplished. His kingdom will come, and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is what we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Christ has made a substitutionary atoning sacrifice for sinners. He is the Savior of sinners. He is able to say to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. So why don't you draw near to God through Him by faith? And may God grant you the ability that you may be able to do it. Amen. Let's pray.